Thank you. We talked a little bit this morning. I just kind of give you a hint of where we were headed tonight. Just want to ask you, how average do you think you are? How average? You know, when you're raising children, you go to the doctor and they tell you for the age your child is, he should be this tall and weigh this much, right? And it always makes the parents feel good if he's above average, right? You don't want one right in the average. You want one that's like bigger than the scale. So when you walk around, you can tell people, you know, my son is ahead of the game. He's above average. You know, nobody besides me? Sure we are. We all want that. But you know, bottom line, most of us settle for average. Because that's better than below average, right? So if we just hit an average mark, we feel like we're okay. Jesus spent a long time teaching His disciples that I need you to be above average. There's an average out there, and that's what a lot of people are. But for you to be who I want you to be, you've got to be above average. So I did a little research. I want to share some statistics with you. You can answer these however you want to answer them. You can kind of give yourself a test if you're average or above average or below average or you're right where you're supposed to be. The average American home will spend 103% of their income. The average American home, Brian's been in the banking business. He'll tell you, I'm telling the truth, the average American home will spend 103%. You say, well, how is that possible? You ever heard of a credit card? The average American home will spend 103% of their daily income. Second of all, the average American home, this is average, okay? This is a pretty big chunk of our country, has at least $15,000 in credit card debt. The average American home. The average American, I'm going to get in trouble, but this was a statistic. I didn't make this up. I found this. I got to share it with you. Is 23 pounds over their ideal weight or more. I said that with a smile. Over their ideal weight, you know, you walk in and for your height and your age, you should weigh this. They got a little thing that they put on your chart, your BMI, body mass index, right? We all love that number, right? The average. I'm just talking average. The average dad. I wanted to share a couple of these. The average dad will spend 27 and a half hours on entertainment or leisure. Hunting, fishing, those kind of things. The average dad. The average dad, 27 and a half hours, entertainment or leisure, 2.7 hours. No, number okay, number two. 7 hours a week with their kids. The average dad will spend 7 hours a week with their kids. Seven. Huh? Leisure, 27. A week. 27 hours a week. Now, you know, I can remember a time that I would do that hunting and stuff, deer season. It was nothing to go scouting and set your deer stand up and to be gone 6 or 7 hours a day and you work 8 hours a day. How many hours time did you think that? Is that leisure? Fishing, leisure? And I think if you stop by Jessica's stepdad's business, you'd see a lot of daddies in there buying toys for leisure. But I think the part that got me was 7 hours a week is spent with their kids. Most dads. Average American dad spends 7 hours a week with their child. The average American, this was funny, has an 8-second attention span. 8 seconds. After 8 seconds, you drift off and you come back. But you got about 8 seconds focused, boom, gone again.
Repeat that one, I wasn't listening.
For a minute. you'll appreciate the next one, Greg. I don't know how they know this, Mike, but you're a fish guy, so the average goldfish has a 9-second attention span. So the average American has less attention span than the goldfish. I'm just sharing the numbers, okay? I don't get paid for this. I just want you to see forever. Now, what's really cool is I watch your faces, and a lot of you, with a lot of that stuff, the dead and that kind of thing, you're shaking your heads no. But you know, when it came down to how many hours you spend with your kids, I've seen some solemn looks. I've seen some looks of people like, if 7 hours, that's not a lot. But it's hard sometimes to squeeze an hour or two in because, you know, I come home, they're already gone to this, and when they get in, I'm there, and you know, if you don't get those hours in that we really need. So let me give you another test. Y'all finished I'm going to make a statement. You finish the statement, all right? An eye for an eye and turn the other. A good man will give you the go the extra. Where'd these come from? Dub said they're biblical. More. I need more. They came from a thing called the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to pick a few verses out of the Sermon on the Mount tonight and talk to you about what Jesus talked to those disciples about on top of a mountain. So go with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. Let's just go to chapter 5. Let's get what we want to get here, and then we'll leave out here tonight. The Sermon on the Mount, I've been to the spot. I've been there twice. It's pretty awesome to be able to go there and sit there and to picture in your mind that Jesus. And all the time I read the Sermon on the Mount, I'm thinking that He's talking to multitudes of people. But realistically, there's a multitude that was following, but He turned from the multitude and He talked to the disciples. The primary people that He wanted to hear this message was His followers. And really, Jesus is teaching His followers, I need you guys to be above average. I need you to be above average. Because there's an average out there, and a lot of times if you follow the average, you could do this and everything's okay. But I need you to be different than that. Because you're living in a world that needs to see me, and the only way they're going to see me is through you. Now, I'm sure that confused the disciples because He was here in the flesh. But Jesus was alluding to a time when He would leave the earth and He'd go back to where the Father was and He'd be left here, you'd be left here alone without Him physically. And that's the time that Jesus was talking about, that I'm going to need you to live in a way that people look at you and say, you know what? I see God in Him. I can see God through Him. I can see God because of how He lives. And that's really what He was talking about when He took them up on this mountain. The ones I want to pick on with you tonight are those things that I just questioned you about. And you all can fill in all the blanks. It's amazing how much Bible we know, but we don't know where it comes from. Because even the world will use the things I just told you. An eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. The world will use that. I've heard the world say that. I've seen it in movies. And a good man gives you the shirt off his back. I've heard that. But all those things come from the passage of Scripture I'm going to read to you tonight. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, we'll begin. I think the cool part to read is to read the first statement of verse 38 because this will help you to know where Jesus is going, okay? The first statement says, ye have heard that has been said. In other words, Jesus talked to the disciples and He said, listen, you've heard this said before. Now, I want you to look at me a second. Where have they heard this stuff before?
Old Testament.
So whether they were good followers or whether they'd been around church at some point or another, because they were Jewish people, and just descended people, they've heard some Bible. Y'all had a good Christian grandmother in your life or a good Christian relative, and you heard some things that always you say, well, my aunt used to say that, my granny used to say that. And because of that, you learned some things. Well, these disciples had learned some things, not necessarily because they were really studied in the Bible, but they were just around people who said the things. So Jesus is going to kind of explain these things a little deeper. And He said, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Let's pretend we're on a Wednesday night service where you can talk a little bit. What do you think about what Jesus telling His disciples? He said, you've heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You can go to the Old Testament. Here's what you'll find. If somebody did wrong to Dallas, Dallas is allowed, Brother Kaufman, to do exactly to them back what they did to him. Not more. Exactly the same. So that's where they heard an eye for an eye and tooth. So if somebody did this to you, you could turn around under the law, this is pretty cool, under the law, and do this back to them. Not extra, not anymore, but eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You see what I'm saying? So Jesus stepped up and He said, you know, you've been told that if somebody does this to you, you can do this back to them. I kind of like the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth philosophy. Nobody? You are gun-packing rednecks. I know who you all are. You can't tell me that an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth don't interest you just a little. But Jesus said, listen, I want to ask you to do something that's not average. Because that's what the average person will do, Jamie. They will make it right between us. Jesus, I want you to do a little bit different than this. If somebody smacks you on the right cheek, I want you to turn the left cheek. Now, what do y'all think about that? It's hard practice. Think it's physically talking about getting smacked in the cheek, Greg? Brian's like, I think maybe.
It could include it.
I think it could include it. I even think he's going deeper than that. I think sometimes it doesn't have to be physical. But you could be insulted. I was thinking about it as I studied this week. Sometimes when people insult you, you have a tendency to do what?
Fire back him.
Thank you. You're thinking insult back, right? Has anybody ever insulted back when somebody insulted you? I mean, it just hit a nerve real quick and you thought, poof, you know what? I don't much care about your hair either. Nobody's ever done that, like, you know. So you just pop back? Sure. And Jesus is saying, that's part of the eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth thing, but He's asking us, when somebody does this, that we don't go there. We don't retaliate. See, this whole lesson that He's trying to teach us is about repaying people back, being the one who wants to set the record straight, not evil for evil. Okay, but He wants us to learn to do good for evil, which is really out of the ballpark crazy, right? But remember, He's asking us to be above average. He's asking us to go the extra mile. And so when I read that, my mind comes right back to me and say, when I'm attacked, my instincts are to attack back. If Aunt Betty attacks me, I'm attacking back. We've been there. We've done that. Our attack started a long time ago, and we'll probably attack to the grave. We love each other. We say we love each other, but we will attack. Because we are kind of the same kind of people. If we're attacked, we have a tendency to want to do what? Let me just poll the audience, because I don't know. I may be in the wrong building. How many of you have a tendency to want to attack back when you're attacked? I appreciate your honesty. How many of you are not attacker backers? Go ahead, Michelle, raise your hand. You can get it up, baby. I know. I live with her. And Gail, I can see that from Gail. Tell me you're not raising your hand. You did that a while ago, didn't you? You are an attacker. No? Logan, what about you? Do you attack when somebody attacks you? being honest. Terry, if somebody attacks you, do you have a tendency to cat back? You know, attack? A little bit, maybe? No? Ida? Nana? Nana? Not Nana! Not my Nana Putin, Nana! Don't bother the grandchildren, you hear that? If I had time, I'd tell you this story, so I got time, I'll tell you the story. Raising kids in a preacher's home is really tough. Because everybody expects different from the preacher kids than the other kids. I don't know why that is. So, long time ago, I don't know if Josh is watching, he'll remember, but Shell was a bus driver in Colorado. And apparently Josh and one of his buddies took a pencil and was sitting back on the bus, and they just popped holes with a pencil in the bus seat. In a piece of paper. Then it went through the bus seat. Oh, now she's already getting mad. The her little boy would not do nothing wrong. Y'all with me? Y'all done see where we're going? So her being the bus driver, she had to report this. So she brought him in, and was it the principal or the teacher that said, I would expect this from another kid, but not a preacher's kid. Wrong thing to say to this mom. She let them know real quick that her kids are normal kids. Being a preacher's kid has nothing to do with it. And sometimes preacher's kids even mess up too. If I'd have been this, I'm glad I wasn't. Because I'm sure her voice got a little louder. Because you don't... Now, you can say anything you want about me, and she don't get ruffled. She'd probably agree with you. He is sorry, and he's wrong, and he's long-winded, and all that stuff. She would agree with that. But you say something about one of the five kids, and it's on. Y'all with me? So I don't know how Nana is now. I'm not going to say anything about your kids, okay? Or grandkids, or great-grandkids. You got great-greats yet? Or them either. I've learned, okay? Go back to our story because it gets better. Let me do this before I leave here because I looked up something a while ago that surprised me a little bit. Is God telling us, Steve, that I have to be passive and just let people pick on me? What about you all? You redneck gun-packing people. What do y'all think? Does God want us to be like passive, sissy kind of people and just let people pick on us? You know, I thought about a couple of times. One of my quotes, the other one I read. The one time Jesus told his disciples, I'm sending you out as sheep among the wolves. I want you to be wise as serpents, but you need to be harmless as doves. I don't know, there's a lot to that you might need to investigate. But I thought about a time that Jesus was smacked. Anybody ever smacked Jesus?
Yes, when he was being crucified.
That's perfect. Let's read it. Everybody there? Go to John 18. Go to John 18. If they're going to smack anybody, well, Jesus would not be the person to smack. I mean, he could call the plagues on you. Right? I mean, he could make the earth open up and swallow you. I mean, there's a lot of things that Jesus could have done. Smacking Jesus was really not the right thing to do. But I want to read this because I thought this was pretty good. Luke 18, or John 18. John 18. Can't find my verse. Let me look. Verse 22. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him. Y'all read? I like this. I might make this my verse. I might change my life verse to this verse. If I have spoken evil, hear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? If I've told you the truth, why are you hitting me? Y'all with me? I think the Lord expects us to stand up for what's right, okay? But what we're talking about in the Sermon on the Mount was retaliation. When somebody does wrong, and they're going to use that for, and you could make it even. There's sometimes it's better not to make it even. Why? Why is it better not to even the score? Somebody in this building needs to know why it's not. Because the field is built like we need to even the score. I sleep a lot better knowing you're hurting if I'm hurting.
Unique.
Huh?
Different.
Oh, thank you. We are peculiar. That's one of the words he uses. We are unique. We're different. We're Christian. We're Christ-like. You know, all you got to do is read the life of Christ, see how he handled the situations. Listen, at any moment in time, he could have called the angels down, could have put a stop to all that right there. But he chose not to. He was meek, which means power under control. And God wants us to be like Jesus. So when people look at us, they would say, he is like Jesus. I'm going to just be honest, standing right here. I'm not like Jesus. I want to be. I'm working on that. I look at the chart sometimes and I got a long way to go. I'm, as far as the Christian is concerned, I'm finding myself being awful average. But you know what? I don't want to be average, Dad. I don't want to be an average preacher. So he said, you're not average, trust me. I don't want to be average. Do you? Honestly, who here wants to be average? Let's just be honest. Who wants to be average? I don't want to be average in any way, shape, or form. I don't want to be average. That's why I study. That's why I do. I don't want to be average. I want to be different. People say, well, this is what our pastor does. I'm glad that your pastor does that. But I don't want to be average, pastor. I want to be different. We're leaving today, going to visit Josh for a few days. And it was tempting to take off Friday when the kids got out of school. And the church out there asked me, would you come? They heard they got word that I was coming. Could you preach for us for 3 or 4 days? You know, I mean, boom. All that was tempting. But you know where I wanted to be and I felt like I needed to be? Right here with you. We got visitors coming, got a lot of people attending. I feel like God's giving me messages for here. And so I will be back before the next weekend comes. I will be right in here next week in the spot. Jamie's going to be in the pocket Wednesday. And y'all are going to be here to support him. But you know what? I'm going to probably wish I was here. Because this is where God wants me to be. And even though it's good to get away sometimes, even when I'm away, Rochelle will tell you, I'm never really away. I'm checking with people. I'm calling people. Somebody wasn't here today. I'll be working on that tomorrow when we're traveling, trying to figure out, why are you mad about? If you wasn't here, you must be mad. I mean, I told Gina this morning, last week, she was missing. And the first thing I thought was, where'd she go to church today? Why is she not here? You know, and then I heard that she got pink eye, and I said, I bet she's got pink eye. You know, I bet she's got pink eye. What's up? What's going on? And literally, she had pink eye. Believe that. But I'm the guy who goes into the panic mode when people's missing, because I think, first of all, they're mad at me. And I wouldn't blame you for being mad at me. I mean, I'd be the right guy to be mad at if you're going to be mad at somebody. But you can still come to church anyway, even if you're mad at me, right? So I try to figure all that out. So retaliation is something that's built in all of us, and we all have a tendency to want to lash out at people. He moved on to verse 40. He said, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. So help us out. This is the shirt part and the coat part. So what's he telling us? What's he saying? When you're sued,
go beyond the minimum.
Huh?
Go beyond the minimum.
Oh, what we're going to see from now to the last verse that I'm going to read to you today is that God is always asking us not to be just the status quo. Not to be average. I can't think of a better word than average, so I'm just going to say average. Don't just do what you have to. You know, most of the time in Christian life, we just do what we have to. If the preacher says read a proverb, then we'll read a proverb. But really should read a proverb and something else. Right? You didn't ask that. You said read a proverb. I'm reading a proverb. I'm doing the best I can with the proverb thing. I got a lot of stuff on the plate, but I am doing the proverb. You know what? That's average. But God wants you above average. He wants you to pray. The average church member really never gets involved in church. The average church member comes, drops some in, sings a congregational song, and goes home. And the next service, they come back. They're faithful for the three. But God's asking us not to just be average. He says, is there anything in this church that you could do that would make this church go more forward and reach more lost people? That's what God's asking. You can be the average church person, or you can be above average church person. And you all get to choose that. It's like not a mandatory thing. But I'm going to turn my back and you think about this question. How many of you at times God has led you to do something and you don't do it? Maybe something in the church. Maybe sing a special. Maybe do this or do that, but you neglect it. Let's just be honest. Nobody's watching. How many of you have felt like God's wanted you to do more, but you really never have done any more? Raise your hand. Let's just be honest. I've seen a lot of hands going up. So why? The question is why? Well, I can give you a couple of them. Here's the first answer. Well, nobody else is doing it. You go to church with a bunch of people, and nobody else is doing any more than you, and so you're just going to do what they do. Can I tell you what you're doing? You're being average. Should have been the right. This must not be the right message. But somewhere, some way, it's like a root canal. I just hit a big nerve. But you go home, listen to me. You go home feeling guilty about it, don't you? And it bothers you for a couple of days and it kind of clears your mind. You pop back into church and the preacher will be dead gone if he don't throw it at you again. There's more you could be doing. We got these opportunities for ministry. What about you all? And you're just sitting there like, wow, when's he going to get off the opportunity to ministry? Never. Because God doesn't want you to be average. He wants you to be above average. If you don't have anything to do on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, you're invited to a ladies' Bible study. They're actually putting together a quartet, and soon they're going to be singing. I think Miss Janet shared that with me today. They're working on it. The other two don't know that, but now they know. I just shared it with them. We're going to call it, what's the name of the place you work at, Karen?
Style Shop.
Huh? The Style Shop Quartet. That sounds very spiritual. But you know, even at the Style Shop, and they got high heels and they got stuff that Kenny, you and I would not enjoy in there. These ladies are having a good time reading the Bible and praying together and eating donuts, look like to me. But you know what? They're not trying to be average. They're saying, you know what? I think I could do one more thing. Rochelle comes with the craziest idea the other day. She said, you know, there's some ladies who have to work during the day. And I've been thinking that maybe we need to have a Bible study at night some night through the week. So those ladies who go work all day, that they could come to a Bible study at night. I'm just curious how many of you would come to that kind of thing. You've got some hands, so you might as well go with what you think. See, I don't think God leads her to do something that God's not asking her to be above average. Right? Come on. Well, that's not normally what other people do. I know. That's why God's asking you to do not what normal people do, but above that. Right? I got one more. I'm reading through here, and this last one really got my attention. Verse 41 and 2. And whosoever shall compel thee to go the mile, go with him what? So I'll give you a little Bible manners and customs lesson. The Jewish people a lot of times were embedded with the Roman people. And sometimes the Roman soldier would grab a Jewish person, and he would say, carry my gear. You ever seen the Roman armor? You understand it. It's, you know, helmets and breastplates and all kinds of metal. They would get a Jewish person to carry their gear for them. Here's the deal. If you do the law, a Roman could only ask a Jew, because the Jewish law said the only time they had to help somebody is they had to carry it for 1,000 steps. 1,000 steps. I watched my dad mark off things like this a lot of times. And one step is equal to what, Greg?
3 feet, which is how much? A yard. And so, if you figure the math, you've got a little longer leg, and before long, it gets 1,500 steps in, which would be 1,500 yards is a mile. Pretty good, right? So Jesus said, that's what the law says. If they ask you to carry his gear, you carry it for the mile or 1,000 steps. But Jesus said, I'm asking you to do different. I'm asking you to go the extra mile. If this is what you have to do, now this is where the stuff comes from. This is what you have to do. Well, I'm a Sunday school teacher, so I have to study my lessons. I have to be here. He's asking you to go the extra mile. So if I'm a Sunday school teacher and I'm teaching this young kids, I'm teaching the junior high and high school kids. I told Jamie this the other day. If you want kids here for Sunday school, you know what you're about to do? Tell them what I told you got to do.
Go get them brains.
You have to go get them a brain. Well, they ought to just get here. Y'all gonna be shocked at this, but most of the kids that is in Jamie's youth group can't drive. Nor do they have parents that drive. There are people living in apartment complexes who don't drive. So what God, when Jamie studied this lesson, he's in class, he's ready to teach it. But you know what? When two kids show up, he's going to be a little bummed out. Come on. Wouldn't you as a teacher? So how do you teach 20 kids? You go get them. You pick them up. You call them on Saturday, and you say, I'm going to be coming by tomorrow and pick you up. You coming? And everyone will tell you, oh, yes, I'm coming. And then when it gets time to come that morning, guess what they do? Because they sit up and play video games all night about 3 o'clock in the morning. Now they can't wake up. So you know what I told them also to do? Call them that morning and wake them up and say, you know what, I'm going to be back in about an hour. You know, that's ridiculous. They need to just come on to church. That sounds fine, well, and good. But you know what? God asked us to go the extra mile. Come on. God asked us to serve. So preach, I'm doing the best I can. He's asking you to go the extra mile. One of my goals for the following year that's coming up is no one left behind. What happens in our church, because our church keeps filling up, we keep filling up with different people though. We have a group of people come in, they fill our pews, some get saved, some don't, and then they kind of spread out, and somebody sees an empty spot in the parking lot, they come in. And week after week, and year after year, we look at full buildings. But I'm trying to tell you, it's full of different people. And there's no way, I'm not trying to get a pity party, I'm not trying to beg you for help, but there's no way that one man can keep up with over 200 people. You know how many people, you know what the green cards have been having to fill out for the last 3 weeks? Do you know how many names are on my green cards now? Who wants to guess? I got 210 people who have filled out a green card. Who in here can keep up with 210 people? Because I'm telling you, I can. Because I look out here on a Sunday morning, and the building, it looks like it did last Sunday. Except that I sat at home a while ago and I started thinking, you know, that family from Junction City wasn't here. And who wasn't here over here where Nam's at? Let's just play a little game here. Who wasn't here over here? Godby's. Who else? How about Godby's daughter and son-in-law and grandbaby? And their neighbors have been coming sitting in front of them. How about on this side? Who's missing over here?
Scott.
Who else? Well, I think that's it. What about all the Rays? Wayne Ray and Susan Ray and Wayne's daughter and Justin and his girlfriend and baby. I mean, before you know it, I'll fill those two pews right there up. But this morning, those pews were full. I'm just letting you know, our building's full, our parking lot's full, but we're full of different people. And the only way this is ever going to work is every one of you, not me, not a couple of men, but every one of you, Betty, Dixie, every one of you all are going to help from people falling through the cracks. Miss Terry's not here, somebody needs to find out. She was here a while ago. She's gone now. She feeling bad or?
She's crying.
And a lot of people going through a lot of stuff. Y'all know? Now, how many of you got enough drama in your own life? Come on, let's just be honest. How many of you got enough drama in your own life? Just go ahead and raise your hands. Come on, let's be honest. How many want some extra? That's why we don't get involved. Come on, that's why we don't get involved. God's asking us, guess what, Brother Kaufman? He said, get involved. Yeah, but I know, but get involved. Yeah, but I know, get involved. Go the extra mile. What you're required to go is this, and most of us will do what we're required. But God says, I need you to be above average. Y'all like that, right? I can tell. Now here's the last one. We'll go home. Give to him, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, from him that would borrow of thee, what? What does that mean?
This person has borrowed from me, and I know good and well, Dixie, they ain't no way in the world they're going to pay me back. Come on. There's no way in the world they're going to pay me back. And I can't believe this, but they just asked me again. Can I borrow some? And what did he say to do? What? Mom's up here saying she is losing it. She's saying give it to them. What? That is not in my training and upbringing. Burn me once, shame on me. Burn me twice. Or burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, what? Huh? Now, there we go, right? Y'all know that. Look at y'all like, I know where you're going. I'm going to tell you where this is going. I don't fall for that stuff twice. Really? How many of you fell for it about 10 times?
No,
it's
not.
How many probably you said that's the last time, but it probably wasn't? You know what? You're above average. Because the average person is, you've hooked me once. Good luck ever getting hooked me again. But here's what God told us. Now remember, He's pulled 12 guys aside. And He's trying to build His church. And He's telling these 12 guys, listen, I know what the law says. The law says go this way, do that, do this, do that. But He said, listen, guys, I need you all to be non-average. I need you all to be above average. So when people look at you, they're going to think, what in the world is wrong with him? What is wrong with him? Why in the world would Joe, I don't even know, why in the world would you get up and sing? That's above average. What did the doctor tell you? Because you're not getting up at the guitar, did he not? Don't get up there at the guitar. He told you don't pick nothing up for how long? About 6 weeks? Not yet. You got to go back in another week, right?
Wow.
You can't pick up anything that weighs how much?
10 pounds or not supposed to have it.
And you're supposed to go up steps. Now, I was there and heard this part. You might have been coming out of it. He told you you could go up that morning. But when you come down, you can't go back up. He's trying to go. Jamie's like, I heard that too.
That's just 2 steps.
Yeah, that's just 2.
Went up 2 steps. Now, some people, if Joe wouldn't have sung tonight, who here would have been upset? But you didn't know that, though. You know he's hurt, you know he's recovering, and you wouldn't have been expecting him to sing, would you? And then when he went up there and sung, it's like, wow, wasn't that good? You know why? Because that was above average. Because the average person, I'm going to tell you, the average person wouldn't even have come to church today. Because he just had this surgery last week, Monday, right? So the average person is like, and if he wouldn't have been in church today, Lona, I wouldn't have thought, one thing, I would have been, where's he at church at? You know, where'd he go today? Why is Joe mad at me?
Man, the man's had back surgery. I know where he's at. He's not like Gina. He's not mad at me. He's like, why is she mad at him? I don't know. We're going to make up after church. But you know what I love about Christian people? And those who really want... I love the people who just go above average. I like the people when they say, you need to not do this, but they just come on in, you know what? I think, you know what? It's not going to kill me to come to church and sit a little bit. I think I'm going to come to church. I like that. But I'm going to tell you who likes it even more. God does. So no matter what you're facing this week, you can consciously say, you know what? I feel good about just doing this. But I want you to think about this message tonight. God's asking you not to just do what your conscience says is good enough. God's saying, let's go a little bit farther this time. Let's just step on out there and do something a little more. So I'm challenging you to do a little more. What was the prayer I thought on you Wednesday night? Anybody remember the prayer of who?
Jamie.
Anybody thought any more about that? Anybody been kind of throwing that out there in a prayer? I'm thinking about getting it blowed up and just like hanging it in my office for a while. Just to remind me when I'm praying in there and studying, ask God to expand my borders. That's what we're talking about. I'm not happy here. I want more. God wants us not to be average, but above average. Let's stand and sing something, Brian. You come. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you tonight for this passage of Scripture. Lord, I realize that this is just barely tapping into some things that you talked to the disciples about. But the bottom line is, you've asked us not to be average, but above average. And some things we could question ourselves with tonight and say, you know what? I don't have that kind of debt, and I don't spend that kind of money, so I'm actually above average. But in some ways, we wasn't above average. We're just average. But God, you don't want any of us to be average tonight. You want us to be above average. So Lord, help us tonight. Give us what we've got to have to go the extra mile. Help us to do the extra. Because we want to, not because we have to, not because we might get something from it. But we just want to do that. Because you went the extra mile as well. Thank you tonight for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing something, Brian.